Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Fellowship Jonesboro's Community Bible Reading Podcast. I'm Erin King.
And I'm Julie Shepherd.
Yeah, we're so happy to be back here. And in the book of Judges, we are going to talk about a few of the themes that we see throughout the book. Again, we're, you know, probably about a week into it at this point, and you have probably gotten the chance to see, again, this is a riveting book, a page-turner. There are some really interesting good stories, interesting bad stories. And so we're going to talk about some themes that we see woven throughout. One of those that we talked about in our last podcast was the cultural assimilation mm-hmm. of Israel with the Canaanites that they had not driven out of the land. And so God had commanded them to drive all of them out. Not only did they not, they begin to pick up some of their practices.
Right.
So much that they don't really see clearly who God is anymore. Their view of God is shaped by these Canaanite gods. Their practices are shaped by these Canaanite practices. And this one is extremely applicable.
Absolutely.
To yeah. us, because yeah. we are also living in a culture. None of us are living in cultures that are completely formed by the kingdom of God. That's just life in this world. And so we are having to try to live as citizens of the kingdom in this culture that is in a lot of ways anti-kingdom.
Yes.
Some ways, some things there are good, and there's good and bad, and we have to filter and all of that. So one thing I wanted to, I think Julie has a unique perspective on this, having lived abroad for so long in mm-hmm. Turkey and then coming back to the U.S., what, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago?
5 years ago now.
Five years ago, wow.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the ways, I'm sure, I know reverse culture shock was a big thing coming
oh, yeah.
back. What were some of the ways that were just very obvious to you that, like, oh, these, like, American Christianity is shaped by these values in the culture that are not of the kingdom of God? Where did you see that at play?
I think the most obvious thing is the expectation in the Christian world, the American Christian community, that we will be the people in power, that we will be the people with the influence, that we will be the people who are in charge and making the decisions, that our country, whether that's politics, community, whatever, will kind of default to us
yeah.
as the people in power. Whereas, you know, in Turkey, the Christian community is so tiny, such a tiny minority and such an oppressed minority, where to believe in Christ is to risk losing your job, to risk physical violence, to risk being cast out of your family. And
so
it was the opposite expectation. You did not expect to be listened to because you were a Christian or to have power because you were a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that idea that that somehow our faith should give us the right to be in charge,
mm-hmm.
And that everyone else should have to listen to us, I think is one. I think also the comfort, the expectation of comfort in the American church.
Yeah,
again,
that hurts.
if there's no persecution to correct you of that misconception, then comfort will become an idol,
mm-hmm.
and our priorities become different. You know, if you're, you know, the idea of success as an idol, what is success for a follower of Jesus? You know, in the Turkish church, success is obedience, faithfulness, not giving up, not walking away from the faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, those kinds of things. Whereas here, success is achievement, position, again, power.
And you're saying not
wealth.
Just in general, but it like
but within
in the
church as
yeah.
well, within the church as well, is one of the things that I also see and that's where the assimilation comes in, that
mm-hmm.
I have to specify, oh, we know that's American culture in general, but also within the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, when kingdom ambition is kind of subsumed under selfish ambition or family ambition or career ambition or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know. So I think that those are some some ways where, you know, and particularly one of the things that gets me the most frustrated is the thought that, you know, if the just kind of the political situation in general, the association of and the kind of mingling of religion and politics is something that would be so foreign to a believer in really any other place other than here, that, you know, that somehow there is a hope for us as a people of God outside of Christ.
Yeah.
That our hope might be anywhere else.
Yeah.
I think is something that's unique to the American Christian community. And unfortunately, we are exporting that and it is spreading to other places. But
yikes.
hooray! So, you know, not to be too harsh, but... you know, that kind of Christian nationalism is spreading through Europe right now as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of signs of assimilation, where, you know, it might be hard to look at a really nice, good, solid, agnostic family and a good, solid churched family and be able to see significant differences between them.
Oh, absolutely.
I think is a challenge.
Yeah.
Unless you are committed to the Lord and able to kind of separate yourself and be holy. That's what holy is, right?
Right.
We separate ourselves. We set apart ourselves.
That's perfect. We'll talk about that in just a minute with the next theme. But one thing I was thinking about, I'm saying this as someone who struggles with it and like understands that I have not like I, that I'm saying this hypocritically, but just the materialism and the just every you go into Target and you have to have all new decorations for your house for St. Patrick's Day and then Easter and then you know whatever summer and then 4th of July and all of this stuff. I mean, and it's on social media, like get targeted with ads all of the time. And I always am like, they're solving a problem that no one has identified as a problem, you know, and just the constant push to buy more and you need this and, you know, you need the bigger and the newer and just the more, stuff. And so one thing we're going to do, this is actually a little bit of an announcement. We are going to, have as part of this unit on the Book of Judges and talking about cultural assimilation, we're going to do a social media fast, starting on April 14th, as just a pushback against this. And I really think it's a pushback against, we've mentioned three things. You mentioned like, you know, a Christian nationalism, like politics. You mentioned like comfort and success and what that looks like. And then I mentioned, you know, materialism. Really all three of those things we see a lot of on social media.
Yes.
Social media fuels a lot of that.
Yeah.
For us. And so we're gonna take a week. We're gonna do a detox starting April 14th. We'll get more details out to you about what that looks like. But it's just going to be, you know, a time to say, I want to resist those things, in an election year, especially.
Oh, yeah.
The political side of things. We're going to take a chance to resist those. We're going to take a chance to resist some of the materialism, always needing to be posting about our successes and, you know, making everybody love us and adore us. And so, we'll get more information, out to you on that. But anytime I've done something like that, it always highlights to me where the points of sin and cultural assimilation have been, because when you get back on, you're immediately like, oh gosh.
Yeah. Why did I do this? Yeah, why did I turn it back on?
It makes me like clench back up. Like certain things I see, I'm like, oh gosh, like that really affected me more than I thought. But our second theme we're going to talk about, and Julie already brought it up, is God's holiness, and our human depravity, and how God is calling us to holiness. And again, that's being set apart. We've talked about, you know, the people assimilating into the culture and God being totally different and people assuming that God is like these Canaanite gods, and he's totally separate. And they've forgotten that, and in forgetting that, they have fallen, as well. And, you know, our post-Christian culture right now, I see it in a lot of ways with people, and you said it too, like you put an agnostic family next to a Christian family, a, you know, quote unquote Christian family, you may not see a lot of differences. And I think right now our culture is saying we can have all of the good and the morals of the kingdom without being part of the kingdom. I don't see that lasting long.
No, I think it will prove itself false. Like, I think after you can pretend for a while, but you can't pretend forever. And if you don't have a true source of those convictions that comes from the Holy Spirit, you can't keep it up forever. You can't keep it up indefinitely. And I think the younger generations like Gen Z that are looking for authenticity, they've grown up with all the fake, and they're looking for authenticity, they're going to see right through that.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely do. I just don't, without that view of a holy God and the standards that he has and what he's calling us to, you can start with that and then, you know, keep moving downward and saying, okay, I'm going to take this. Oh, I don't like that thing that God says. I don't like that thing. I don't like living that way. You can still be a good person. Eventually, I think you're just going to keep, and we see it in Judges, you're going to keep spiraling downward.
Yes.
And removing everything, all of the goodness that comes from God.
Yeah, you can't serve two masters, is what the Bible says. So you can't serve a holy God and a pagan culture.
Yeah,
at the same time.
Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to do now. And again, I mean, in the church, trying to do. And so, last theme we want to look at is God as king, our need for God as king, which really all of these flow naturally from each other, all of these themes that we've talked about. It's such an interesting progression when you read through the Old Testament. In Judges, again, a repeated theme is there was no king in Israel. The people did whatever was right in their own eyes. That's a repeated phrase. And so you get the idea that maybe if there was a king, people would do what was right. Maybe if there was a good king. Do we see that happening?
No.
Not quite.
No.
In Deuteronomy 17, God had told the people, hey, if you want a king, this is what's going to happen. He's going to, you know, take your children away from you and amass horses and, you know, take a bunch of wives. Or there was a prohibition against that.
Yeah.
In 1 Samuel 8, the people, which is after Judges, the people are wanting a king because they're sick of judges, because
the judges aren't very
the
helpful.
Judges are terrible. Who wouldn't be? And Samuel says, okay, but he's going to do all these things that God warned you about back in Deuteronomy 17. People say, that's fine. We want a king. Give us a king. You get Saul. David, you get Solomon. If you look in the life of Solomon, he does like exactly
everything, like in order of all the things Deuteronomy says, this is the bad stuff your king is going to do to you. He does it all like in order, like he was reading it backwards.
Yeah, it's like that's his manual.
Like it was opposite.
What I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so I think that has real implications for us. We want human kings. Mm-hmm. You talked about it with the political thing. We don't want to look to God as our king. What are the ramifications in our lives when we don't have God as king?
I think when we don't have God as king, we look around, we see the fallenness, we can recognize that there's no one else around us that's really capable. And so we start to believe that it's up to us to be our own rulers, right? Mm-hmm. We want to do what's right in our own eyes. But deep down, we know we can't be.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down, I know I do not have what it takes to rule the galaxy. I can't even rule my own pile of laundry, right? And so that's where anxiety comes in. And I think what we're seeing is the ramifications in our culture. If I don't have someone that I can cling to, that I can depend on, that will be a stable, solid place for me to run, who will make sure that I am protected and safe. If I don't have that, if it's all on me, I have no hope. And I begin to panic and I begin to worry because I know I can't be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I genuinely believe that I have to, mm-hmm. that it's up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, we can see that in our own culture. Or the opposite is the other option is for people who say, I will look for anyone who looks like they might be strong enough,
mm-hmm.
no matter how bad they might be, and will rally behind the charismatic, the strong, the loud talking, the big person,
yeah,
that seems
absolutely.
Like they could do it maybe, and we'll rally behind them because we know we don't have that kind of power,
mm-hmm.
and we don't trust that there's a God that has that kind of power. So where's a human alternative? And
yeah.
that's where you get, you know, these, you know, narcissistic types or these, you know, dictator types,
mm-hmm.
that,
yeah.
that come to power.
And absolutely.
So yeah, it's what we saw in Judges. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes because there was no one who was protecting them until these big personalities with major flaws,
mm-hmm.
would rise to the surface.
And I think you said it perfectly, and this is something we don't think about enough and talk about enough. It's because we don't think God is that for us.
Yeah.
We don't trust God to love us and care for us and protect us and defend us. And that is a huge, that's going to cause huge problems for us. It did for the people of Israel and it did for us.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, there was a king in Israel.
There for sure was.
There was a king in Israel. Yahweh was king over Israel.
And they did not
recognize him as king.
Yeah. No, and that's what God says in 1 Samuel 8, when the people demand mm-hmm. a king. He says to Samuel, who was the last judge, who was a good one, by the mm-hmm. way, they're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me as mm-hmm. their king. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a great reminder to us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. let's not do that.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. These are some great things to be looking for as we're reading through Judges. Again, look for that cultural assimilation in the nation of Israel. Look for God's holiness,
mm-hmm.
And human depravity and forgetting that holiness. And then the need for God as king, the need to accept and realize God as king. He is mm-hmm. king, and we need to accept and realize it. And so I hope those help guide y'all as you're reading through. And we'll have more about all of this, more resources on the resource sheet that I send out, as well as some information about that social media fast that we're going to be doing. But we hope y'all have enjoyed this, and we will see you next time.
Bye.